One Sunday night, and Mac knows this story, and I think Tom does too. Forgive me. Do you all know what happened to me one? The Marine. Well, here's what happened. They had a Sunday night service, and I was starting up the steps, and I can show you the very step where I stopped. And I said, I'm tired of being a coward. I'm going to witness for Jesus Christ tonight or die. And I did a U-turn, went back on Carlos. There was a bus bench there, a Marine sitting there. Now, all the way down, I was praying, dear Lord, forgive me for being such a wimp. Help me to witness tonight. Please bless what I say. And I sat down next to the Marine, and I said, hello. He said, hello. He said, tell me, have you ever thought about Jesus Christ? And he said to me, if you don't get out of here in 10 seconds, I'm going to smash you right in the mouth. That was my first outreach in Christian life. And I had been praying, dear Lord, give me courage. Well, my dad taught me never run away from a fight, didn't he? Remember that? Take pickle in the panza. But this would have been ridiculous. So I left within 10 seconds. But as I was going away, I said to myself, Brunner, stupid, that's not the way you do your, have a normal conversation, but then bring Christ in. But don't you wimp out tonight. You've been a wimp for 20 some years. So I went down the street, out of sight of the Marine, across the street, and sat down next to an older gentleman, and we had a normal conversation. And the bus came and took him. I came to the conclusion, I don't think evangelism is your gift, Dale. And but that was my experience. Then I went off to seminary. I wanted to be a minister or a teacher or a missionary. Actually, I wanted to be in mission. Four of us went in Ted Nissen's Ford, 1944 convertible. Don Mumma, Ted Nissen, Dick Jacobson, and myself. 3,000 miles. And we come back 3,000 miles every Christmas and New Year back. And they were very helpful years. I remember one, this will tell you the character of one of the professors there. One Christmas I did not go home, and I must have been the only light on in Brown Hall. And there was a knock on my door, and it was Dr. Bruce Metzger, the well-known New Testament professor. And he said, I have the feeling you weren't able to go home for Christmas. Would you like to come to our house tonight for Christmas Eve dinner? I thought that shows you this man's character. One of the major translators of the NRSV, by the way. And those were very happy years, except Earl Palmer started with us four from Hollywood, and Earl was from Berkeley Press. We met with four Princeton University students every Friday morning. And Ted, Don, Dick were discipling men and women to Christ, and I was keeping my mouth shut. I didn't want to get punched out. And then I heard a talk by the liberal Pasadena Presbyterian Church pastor, but even liberals can know their Bible, and he gave this message on 1 Corinthians 12, and I still remember verses 4 to 6. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Lord. There are varieties of service, but the same Christ. And there are varieties of ways to serve the Lord and the same Spirit. And I thought, whoa, I don't think my gift is evangelism, but maybe I could be a teacher. Because teachers don't have to evangelize. You can just give tests and things like that. And so I decided I'm going to do teaching. So I spent the, they stayed, it was a 3-year time. I stayed 4 years. And I'm glad I did, because I set out to three different schools when I graduated. I wanted to go to China as a missionary, to three places to study Chinese studies, and they all three turned me down. I said, no, thank you. If I hadn't stayed the fourth year, Dr. Henry Kramer, the Dutch missiologist who wrote The Christian Faith in the Non-Christian World, and the great missiologist, was there the fourth year. And I went to him and told him, Dr. Kramer, I want to be a missionary, but I've been turned down in three schools. And he said, you know, Dale, in Europe, there are three mission departments in the theology faculty in Holland, where he was from, and there are three in Germany. And so I wrote all six asking, could I come there to do graduate study? And Walter Freitag from the University of Hamburg wrote back, we have a place for you. We would love for you to come. And the Cobb Fund, now the Fraser Fund, here at First Presbyterian Church, Hollywood, paid for my total 4 years at University of Hamburg. The Fraser Fund financed Michael's graduate study at Fuller Seminary. Can you see my indebtedness to Hollywood Church again? And that they supported us there. The year before I graduated from seminary, Miss Mears asked me to teach that summer her college department. She had asked Don Mumma the summer before, and then he graduated, and I was there for 4 years, so she asked me that summer. And I lived down the servant quarters of her house in Bel Air, 110 Stone Canyon Road, and down the servant quarters. And Bill and Vonette Bright lived in the other half of her mansion. It was a mansion, and she lived in the other. And as I was teaching that class, Miss Mears kept saying to me as we drive back home and so on, "Dale, isn't Kathy Booth delightful?" And I said, "A little loud, but delightful." And then she said, "But I had read in the Bible somewhere, tell me where it is, if you guys know your texts, somewhere in the Bible it says Sunday school teachers do not date the girls in your class." So I knew I was being proper. I'm not going to date the girls. You're teaching them. And then she said this sentence, and it changed my life. "Dale, I think the man who marries Kathy Booth will never have an unhappy day in his life." I got the point. Dale, make a move. And so I can show you the very spot, and Kathy and I remember it very well, where I asked her for the Thursday night at Barclay Nobles, it was a volleyball thing, "Could you go with me?" And she was at a Good Samaritan Hospital. I picked her up. We went. The conversation was so rich, I thought, man, Miss Mears is onto something. So Kathy and I began to date. Then we were married, just like our friend was married last, Kathy and I were married in Wiley Chapel. And who was our friend that I went? Yeah. And boy, you can sing. Mac Heald, who is a fabulous master of ceremonies, sang the solo. "I've never heard you sing before. I didn't know you could do it. It was gorgeous." And you learn about your friends gradually, but Mac is gifted. And I'm so grateful for that service. And we went then to Miss Beers for the reception and so on, and Santa Barbara for our honeymoon. And then we set out on one of the queens for Europe. Daryl Guter met us at the train station at Hamburg. And we were taken to the Missions Academy. And it was, we had a little room, but it was beautiful. Furlough missionaries came there. But Dr. Freitag had gotten a room there for us. And that was our first year. And then one thing happened there during that year is I passed my German language exam on Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving Day, so that I could begin to get credits. And then at our first anniversary, a fun thing happened. We lived right near the Elbe River and the Hirsch Park, and you walked about 2 miles down to the Sulberg Castle, and you walked up about 100 steps, and Kathy and I had our first anniversary dinner there. That whole year, these German pastors, missionaries, tried to get Kathy and me to drink wine, because they drank. The beer truck was the beer, or what kind of truck it was? Beer truck stopped every day, practically, or once a week, and disgorged itself. And all these devout missionaries drinking, and they told us, "Water rusts your stomach, brothers. You can't." And so we never, because you didn't drink here at Hollywood Press. Alcohol was not, you don't do it. Well, at that first anniversary, while we were sitting there at the table, I said to Kathy, "Kathy, there's nothing sinful about alcohol." So I was bold. I ordered a bottle of wine for Kathy and a bottle of wine for me. Isn't that what you do? Coca-Cola for you, Coca-Cola for me. And as I was drinking, Kathy became more and more. And we barely made it down the 100 steps of the Sulberg Castle. I don't know how we got home, but 9 months later, Frederick Carlton Booth Bruner was born. I came to like wine. How's that? That's what a deep experience that I had in Hamburg. Another big thing happened to me there. Miss Mears taught the epistles, but she used the Scofield Bible, as Biola does in all of the, still all the Bible schools. Kathy, this is her Bible, it's well used when she went to Hampton Bowes Academy. And the Scofield Bible says the Gospels are not for Christians. It's the epistles. And that's why, because this school, the theology here was dispensationalist. And this is what Scofield says in his first note, the footnote to Sermon on the Mount. And I bet you'll be as surprised as I was. Said, in this sense, the Sermon on the Mount is pure law and transfers the offense, he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount, from the overt act to the motive. He says, and then he gives several reasons, says, for these reasons, the Sermon on the Mount, in its primary application, gives neither the privilege nor the duty of the church. These are found in the epistles. And then he gives this example. Under the law of the kingdom, that's in the Gospels, for example, no one may hope for forgiveness who has not first forgiven. Remember the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we. So it's conditional. But he said, under grace in the epistles, the Christian is exhorted to forgive because he is already forgiven. In other words, the epistles are real gospel, and the Gospels are not. And well, I got a lot of Henriette Amir's Christ-centeredness, especially from the epistles, but very little in the Gospels. And I, without her ever saying anything like the Gospels, she never quoted that quote, but I didn't think the Gospels were for real Christians. In fact, the guys at seminary, Princeton Seminary, called Jesus, Jesus. We called him Christ. Do you get the difference? I thought they were stressing just his humanity, and we stressed his divinity. And this was the second main experience after the Sulberg wine. Namely, I discovered, and I think it was our second anniversary of Sulberg, I shared this to Kathy. Kathy, there's gospel in the Gospels. Jesus is almost as gracious as Paul. And I remember, and I shared the verse with her. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I said, that's as good as Paul. And I began to have a love affair with the Gospels that hasn't ended. One other thing that happened in Germany, and then I'll move on to our next experience. And when we arrived, Dr. Freitag, I still remember, we were walking down one of the streets in Hamburg, and he said, what would you like to study, Mr. Brunner? I said, I'd love to study the second blessing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because Dr. Mears had said to me, she never said this in a class openly, and I'm glad, but she had said to me, Dale, I've never known a man of God, that was the phrase she used, who hasn't had a second crisis experience after his conversion. It's called the second blessing. Maybe you've heard of it. Victorious life, where you, in Pentecostalism, it's if you speak in tongues, that's the second experience. And in the deeper life, it's where you feel like you're filled with the Spirit. So I said, I'd like to study. He said, well, Dale, the major missionary movement in the world today is Pentecostalism, and it has a second experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. And it's the major missionary movement. Dr. Freitag was the missionary professor there. He said, why don't you study Pentecostalism and their doctrines and compare it with the New Testament doctrine of the Holy Spirit? And so for 3 years, it was not hard work. It was thrilling to study that. And here's the conclusion. It was the doctoral dissertation was the doctrines experience of the Holy Spirit in the Pentecostal movement and correspondingly in the New Testament. That was the subject. And here's the conclusion I came to. Miss Mears died the year before we returned from Germany. But I think she would have agreed with this sentence. Dr. Mears, I think that when we accept Christ, we don't just get one-third of the Trinity. We get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And it was the circumcision heresy in the first church where they said, after you converted and baptized, the males need to be circumcised. And down through church history, Wesley had a second blessing. Finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. It's the major denomination with a second experience. I think the second experience is wrong. It's saying Christ, if you have faith in Christ, that's not, you're not yet there. You are there. And I think Ms. Mears would have agreed that. So I hope none of you has ever been seduced into having a second blessing. Because we had a major, Ian Thomas. Fortunately, she never taught it, but he taught it at the college briefing conference. I remember he lifted up a glass of, empty glass of wine. That's interesting. And He said, the Holy Spirit will not infill an unclean vessel. And unless you are completely pure and have confessed every sin and are living a sinless life, he will not come into your life. And I wanted that. And I would go out in the forest and I would pray and I would cleanse myself of everything. And I'd come back into camp and I'd see a pretty girl and I'd have to go out in the forest again. I could never be that pure wine glass. Well, now, after that study, I came to the conclusion, that's wrong to teach people that. Do you follow me? I hope none of you have been conned into the so-called victorious life. It was not helpful to me. And so, we came back. Kathy came back earlier. I came back on a ship, on a freight trip, the Darrell ship that made it cheaper, landed at Newport News, Virginia, and had an interesting experience there. There was a water fountain there in Newport News, Virginia, that said, whites only. And that's when I came into the civil, what? And it was our liberal churches, like the Pasadena Press and so on, that were out there with Martin Luther King. We did not enter that with the social engagement that we ought to have, I think, now. And we need the social justice dimension of the liberal churches, and they need our Christ-centered emphasis of the evangelical churches. Kathy and I submitted our names to the Board of Foreign Missions, and they sent us to the Union Theological Seminary, Philippines. It's 2 hours outside of Manila, out in the beautiful countryside. And we were there for 11 years. Michael was born there, and Fred was 4 years old. Did I share with you the little picture that Michael... Did I ever share that in class? Oh, you all know that. Okay, I'll just tell it. Not everybody's heard it, but this. Our parents, while we were in the Philippines, sent us this picture. I mean, this little clipping from the LA Times. Tell your youngster to draw a picture of dad as though the man were some kind of animal. Most children so directed in a California project sketch their fathers as lions. Well, we thought, let's ask Michael to draw a picture, and Fred too. Yes. So we didn't tell him that, of course, but it's not the line. We just said, Michael, draw a picture of each of us. So this is Michael, 1969, Michael, age 4. There's Mommy. She's the biggest of all. Mommy Birdie is called. Mommy's a baby birdie, but she's big. Mickey is a monkey-eating eagle. We lived out in the boondocks, Tagalog word from the hills, by the way. Fred over here at the far is Freddie's a kingfisher trained. He's smaller, even though he's bigger than his brother. He's small. Daddy, a little ant. I'm a little ant. You can barely see me on the... Most California kids drew their fathers as a lion, and I'm an ant. Come. Will you please tell Michael that was wrong when you see him? By the way, I've grown in this sense. When I told him, I can't understand Flannery O'Connor, Michael, which is his dissertation, he said, Dad, trying to introduce you to Flannery O'Connor is like trying to introduce a chimp to the Louvre. So I'm a chimp now, I'm not an ant. And well, ask Michael about that when you get him. All right. One little story I forgot to tell you was when I proposed to Kathy. I got her parents' permission. We drove up to Forest Home. She stayed in Margaret Muir's cabin, and I stayed in the lodge. And I knelt down in front of her and said, Kathy, will you marry me? And she said, I will, the two main words I've ever heard in my life. And then the smoke started coming in the room. I had brought logs there and started a fire. I was real proud. I wanted to know I'm really handy, man. But nobody ever told me about a flue that you pull out. We practically choked to death on the night she said she'd marry me. Preview of coming attractions, Kathy. Okay. Well, one fun thing happened when we came home for 1 year in between 59 and 63, 59, 60, 60, 61. We returned for a year of Pentecostal literature reading and studying the churches here. We went to our 10th high school reunion, John Marshall High School. I had had one big fight in school with Ken Studer. He was a great big guy. And we fought at Washington Irving Junior High School. Then we fought again when I delivered the Herald Express to his house. And That night at the front door, there was a knock, and it was Mr. Studer, and he said, "I want you to come out here. My son wants to fight you." I went into the dining room, said to the family, "Come out, you want to see a fight?" We got in a fight that lasted, I remember my dad saying, "Get your head out of there," because he was hitting me like this. And I think I was pounding his head in the driveway, and the whole neighborhood was there for, and was yelling and screaming. This, he didn't come to school the next week. And I had won the fight, believe it or not. Well, here, this is my 10th high school reunion, and I'm walking down with Kathy, and here comes Ken Studer in his suit, great big guy. I said to him, first thing I said, "Don't hit me." And he said to Kathy, "Your husband beat the shit out of me." That was the high point of my whole... the high point of my whole campus family reunion. Are you impressed with me now? Well, we came back, and they sent us to the Philippines, and they were living... It was out in the countryside, and for 11 years we were there just among the monkeys and the ants and the all kinds of wild things, and Michael could climb trees. Just it was a lot of, it meant a lot to us. But in Germany, this is Union Theological Seminary, so it's, I'm to be lecturing them. It was Christian doctrine was my course. In Germany, the professors lectured reading like this. So I thought that's what... And I read, and my Filipino students were falling asleep as I read. And Kathy would ask me, "How'd it go today, Dale?" I said, "Well, pretty good, but several fell asleep." And every teacher knows that's the death knell, sleeping students. Then something happened to change my whole direction of my life. The little barrio church called Simbahan Sanayon was just down the road, and most of our students went there, and Kathy and I went there, and I taught the Sunday school class. And when I taught the Gospels, because I discovered the Gospels in Hamburg, the students were listening, and they were alive. When I taught Karl Barth and John Calvin and Martin Luther, they were falling asleep. And so I thought, you know, Matthew's super organized. He teaches how God came into the cradle in Matthew 1, then how the doctrine of God, the Holy Spirit gave. So you got the Holy Spirit giving Christ to Mary and the Father and so on. Then the chapter 2 is doctrine of man. The Magi are the evil guys, and King Herod's the good guy, but King Herod tries to kill Jesus. The Magi come to worship him. Doctrine of man. Chapter 3, doctrine of Christian initiation. You're baptized and so on. Chapter 4, doctrine of temptation ministry. Chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. So can you see? It was super organized. So I taught systematic theology, Christian doctrine, through teaching the Gospels. And so for 11 years, I was just in Matthew. And later than the two-volume commentary of Matthew was published, and I've been in the Gospels the rest of my life. And so if I hadn't had those sleeping students and the alert ones in the Sunday school class, I wouldn't have gone that Gospel direction. You follow me? So that was a big deal for... Okay, Hamburg, Philippines, Tagalog, yeah, Michael's family animals, I did that. Two things, Divine Word Seminary and Columba. This is ends the Philippines experience. The Second Vatican Council ended in 1963. We came to the Philippines in 1964. And they invited us to send faculty there, and we invited faculty here, and we exchanged faculty. And I was asked to teach Matthew's Gospel to the huge, because Philippines is a Roman Catholic, Divine Word Seminary, which was down the way. And what a privilege. And I wanted to be very careful not to offend my Catholic brothers, because, you know. But there was one time I stepped over the line. The very first healing story, right after the Sermon on the Mount, it's the first healing story, is the healing of the leper, and then the next one is Peter's mother-in-law. And when I came to Peter's mother-in-law, I said, you know what? If Peter had a mother-in-law, that means he was married. If he could, if the Pope Peter could be married, how come you guys can't be? Was that all right? Fortunately, nothing came of that. But that was the only time that I. Otherwise, it was a great privilege to be with the Roman Catholic Church there, and I'm deeply grateful for that experience. Then we came to Whitworth College, where we spent our last 22 years. Columba. Oh, and you're brave to Columba. Oh boy. After our first 5 years there, in the Presbyterian Church, you get every sixth year you get a year furlough. So we came home. But I asked before we came home, because I felt one of my weaknesses was, I'm teaching pastors, but I've never been a pastor. So I asked permission, could I be a pastor in a church the first year we come back? And they ordained me for 1 year to be a preacher. And I wrote my sermons out in English, and my student would translate in Tagalog. I'd memorize it and preach in Tagalog for 12 Sundays. I mean, for how many Sundays? For a year. Yeah, 52 sermons. Anyway, when we came to Columba, they showed us a place where we would be living. Animals came in and out of the place where we were, and Kathy said, I can't stand it. I can just read a book and I don't know if there's an animal in the house. It didn't bother me, but it was too much for Kathy. She said, I can't do it. So we had to say we can't. And so we commuted 2 hours from the seminary to Columba Laguna every Sunday for a year. Fortunately, we made friends. Fortunately, they didn't throw us out. But to this day, Columba is a scar on our record as missionaries. Can you imagine a missionary not being able to stay in the place the people wanted them to? Do you get it? I want to share that just so you can see our fallibility. All right, Whitworth, 75 to 97. And, oh boy, I only had to teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Monday night, but all day of Monday I could just get ready for either Matthew, John, Mark, or Luke, the Gospels, but just staying home, getting it into me. Tuesday and Thursdays in the morning I taught church history, in the evening, in the afternoon, I taught Christian doctrine. Gospels, church history, Christian doctrine, yum, 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 22 years. And I taught the adult class at First Presbyterian Church, Spokane. And so, because of that, I was never on any committee. I didn't have to serve on a committee, which is paradise. Teachers know that, what I'm talking about. And there were 22 very happy years. And I think that's about Kathy worked at the weight loss clinic. Fred started as a freshman there at North Central High School. And when he was a senior year, fourth year, he was elected student body president of North Central High School. Michael was elected at his fourth year class clown. That I'm very happy to share that after that picture, that I want to honor Michael. This is the last thing. Then First Presbyterian Church Hollywood. Monta Vista Grove Homes is a Presbyterian retirement community in Pasadena. We are so grateful that the Presbyterians made that provision, and we've been there now for 22 years. We came in 98. And Doug Millam and two other fellows asked me before we came, would you teach our adult class at First Presbyterian Church Hollywood? I said, oh, I'd kill to teach it. Pardon? Yeah, Max and Rob Oscar. Yeah, they were all in that group. Were you in that group too? Well, wow, Mac, you can not only sing, you have good eyes for... I walk 4 miles every day to the Fuller Seminary Library. They gave me a special little cubicle, made me a visiting scholar. I can lock the door, 7 foot square. Paradise. Both of my sons say, Dad, get a life. But sitting inside a cubicle is a life. And I remember in this class, and maybe some of you remember this, we were doing 1 Corinthians 12. Some are the hand, some are the foot, some are an eye, some are... And I asked the class, what part of the body of Christ are you? And Kathy raised her hand. Do you remember that? She said, my husband has one gift, an iron butt. He can sit in a library for 12 hours and Was that thoughtful? Oh, you're nodding. It was. Well, that is true. I do really think that's my gift, is just sitting and reading and writing. And books never talk back. They're so thoughtful. They open right up where you want. I don't have any flack the whole day. Don't have any Marines saying, I'll knock, if you don't get out of here, I'll punch you to death. I like books. And I'm very happy and very grateful they gave me that cubicle. And Kathy does all, everything, financial, everything. I get a book allowance once a month, $10. That's all I have to do with money. And I think that's it. I did mention Columba, about how we...
I mean France.
Oh, yeah, that was just a... For 1 year, I had one sabbatical in 22 years at Whitworth. You're supposed to have one every 10 years, but I got one, and I needed to learn French because I had the other languages, but French is one of the main theological languages. I loved it there. Kathy found it a little hell. And so how does, what is that? Just that was one of, not one of our happiest times in the world. Do you have anything to add? Okay. All right, I think, okay. Kathy didn't want me to go into this, but I'll just use this, say this word. One of my main experiences the last several years in various teaching situations has been failing. Failure has been, and apparently people hit their peak and then things don't, and that failure has sort of been the name of the game, and so I'm doing less and less speaking. Oh.
It is growing older.
Oh, there. That's the inspired word. But I think I've just about shared everything. Very grateful for the class here. Oh, yeah. I wanted to share this. I love this because it's... I'm doing a commentary in Romans right now. And the song, Here Comes the Sun, summarizes exactly... It's the Beatles, but this King Singer's version of it, the Romans commentary that I'm writing right now, I'm using this. And here's what it says, and you'll hear it sung in just a minute, by the King Singers. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. If this isn't the gospel in a catch.
Here comes the sun.
S-O-N.
Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Gospel, it's all right.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
That's our sin. That's our life and sin.
Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here.
Since you've been here, and that's Jesus.
Here comes the sun.
Here he comes.
Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Justification by faith. It's all right. Stars are returning to their places. It seems like years.
It seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.
They say sun, 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 and listen to hear he comes and hit instead of it in one of these stanzas. Listen.
Sun, 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 here he comes.
Here he comes. You hear that? Here he comes.
Sun, 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 here he comes. Sun, sun, sun.
The ice is slowly melting.
Little darling,
seems like years.
It seems like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Isn't that the gospel? Any questions? Yes. Sarah.
You were a pastor or ordained in the
Yes.
church.
Yes.
You didn't live in the community, but there would be more to being a pastor than just going there once a week on Sunday and preaching.
Yes.
Did you go into the community and interact with them and pastor, like, you know, visit home visitation?
That's what I should have.
Try to be part of the community even though you couldn't live there 24 hours a day.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. That's my. We went on Sundays, and so I bombed. That was it. That was.
The community was so into the community.
Yeah, so we would be there occasionally. Yeah, and the Kapulong family became very close. But how that? Why they even tolerated us after not being able to live with them? Oh, yes, our friend. Yes.
Okay. Just yep. In your experience, from you personally, what do you think the purpose of life is, and what do you think the purpose of your life was?
Ptolemy. This is a very thoughtful question, much better than yours, Sarah. I think that Jesus of Nazareth was an actual historical person, and I believe the resurrection actually happened, validating his whole career. And that the major responsibility of the church is to bring men and women into fellowship with him and to following him. That it goes back to that Forest Home experience. He's real. He's actually, this actually happened. And I think it's, you know, just recently something sort of showed me this, the cruciality of Jesus Christ afresh. This is 2020. 2020 what? 2020 years after what? That's time, space, far west, North America, South America, the west, Europe, Africa, the Near East, the Middle East, the Far East. Near East, Middle East, Far East from what? Far west from what? West from what? Jerusalem. Jesus died right on. Jesus Christ is the center of time and space, even in our secular world. And I believe the central need of the world is discipleship to Jesus Christ and incorporation in his one holy Catholic Church to reach the world, both for social service and social justice and the gospel that he's come, the Son has come. And so what I want to do is get right commentary on this coming. Did I answer the question, I wonder? Ptolemy, did I?
Yeah, the abstract nature of the question, I think, was a little bit more directed to between Dale and himself. Like, personally, what do you think the purpose of life is?
Purpose of life is to know Christ and to make him known. That was a sign of Miss Mears in the college department. To know God, I just love the way that John puts it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And it says, and the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Eugene Peterson's way of translating that. It wasn't Olivia Newton-John who introduced, let's get physical. It was the God actually became a physical, historical person in the middle of history and of space. And the things that he has said and done, getting that out is the major responsibility of all of us. That's, I hope, and I can't do it by evangelizing. The Marine taught me that. But maybe I can write commentary that will help pastors who can do that. That's where I find, and I think each of us, if we can find our gift, whatever it is. Yes, Brother Ed. Oh boy. Yeah. That's a. Glenn. Yeah. He's got something. What? How is that? Something.
Sorry.
What did you say in your last sentence?
He's got a different approach.
Yes.
Different
yeah, he comes at it. my class was called the Good News class. His is called the Breaking News class, and that's the difference. His is intersecting the modern world. Is his passion. Mine is trying to interpret the ancient for the modern. His is to bring it into the modern world. And right now, I've just finished Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's called the Fourfold Gospel, a running commentary, and he's doing the application to each Bible story. I've done the interpretation of the text, and this year, he's doing the making it relevant to modern people. And so I'm very proud of Michael and very grateful for him. But we are quite different. Thank you for asking that question. Yes, brother.
You've been involved with this particular church off and on for about 70 years now.
Yeah, right.
Any significant changes that you've seen in the congregations or the way the gospel is approached here, you know, from various pastors or the way the gospel is taught here or whatever, you know, the way the community has changed? Anything?
Yeah, Scott.
You know,
Scott.
Not so much evolutionary as opposed to revolutionary.
Yeah. We came here during the Menin crisis. That was quite a shaking up, wasn't it? During we came back here, yeah. And that's his question. What do I sense it is now? And I
here now, as opposed to, you know, 7 years ago.
You're right.
50 years ago.
Right. We never ever heard Lloyd Ogilvie, by the way, because we got here in '98, and he'd retired I think the year before. So I can't even compare it with that. But I'm told he was a very able communicator of the gospel, making it clear to people so that the place was packed. And let's all be praying for our pastor nominating committee right now that they will find a person who can really be. That's what Kathy and I are, that's our main sense of need here. I'm so grateful for the Fraser Fund, the Cobb Fund, the Lord's Lighthouse reaching out to the neighboring community. This is not only an evangelical church which lifts up Christ, it's a social justice church which seeks to help the poor and the needy. And
has it always been that way?
Well, the Lord's Lighthouse was started by the couple. What is their name? Yeah, that's fair to say that. Don Williams' ministry.
He's answering the question better than
you, right? Yes. Because it just seems like there have been different eras and different emphases. The starting of the, what is the movie, I mean, the one that shows the plays here?
Actors.
I'm proud of our church for having that. That's a ministry to the entertainment community. Lord's Lighthouse, preaching. Yes, Lucy.
I just want to make a comment first and then ask a question.
Yes.
You mentioned that, you know, you don't have the gift of evangelism.
Yes.
Evangelism takes place many different ways. When you look over how many students you have affected, how many of us we have, you know, for 13, 14 years sat on the right side over there.
Yes. That's thoughtful. Thank you.
My question to you is, if you were to do all over again,
yes,
what things do you think you would do differently that you think you missed?
Oh, wow. You know, thank you, Lucy. Thank you for your compliment at the beginning and for your deep question here. And I'm so grateful to have found that I am not a Bill Bright evangelist. I'm not a whole bunch of things, but that I do love to study, read, and write. And so I don't think there's anything else I would... I don't wish that I had been an evangelist, because that's not who my personality is, nor a preacher. And even Kathy would not have been a great preacher's wife. She's very, very private. And preacher's wives have to be very social and so on. And preachers have to be ready for baptisms, funerals, counseling, so on. Oh, that would drive me crazy. And so, Kathy, how would you answer that question?
Don't you have any imperfection?
Oh. No, not one imperfection, no.
There you have it.
No, but I mean, can you think of something that I should have done, or a mistake, maybe some a move? Oh, wow. More attentive parents. Ooh. You've been super attentive.
No, but if it's little, I have to have them on my list. Not good.
Oh. Oh, thank you very much. It's so sweet. Miracle. Yes, sister.
What are the social issues you think the congregation should be doing more of this congregation?
Wow. What a deep question. I can't, because of the Lord's Lighthouse, I have the feeling they are doing what they can for the poor. I'm afraid if we became more political, we would... That would not probably be wise from the pulpit. I'm a very left-wing Democrat, and you can be grateful I haven't said anything about the present government. So, I mean, I honestly, can you think of something that we should be doing? What is the name of our friend, Quigley? Amy Quigley, did you see the LA Times article by Lopez about, made me so proud of our church trying to do things for the refugees that are here. If we were closer to the border, I would hope that we could do something there. Your questions are very penetrating, and I've just been grateful that the church has been both Christocentric, lifting up Jesus Christ, and humanocentric, reaching the people that are right on our sidewalks, trying to feed them, house them, counsel them. I don't know what other emphasis we might have been able to have. Some of you might have something on your conscience. Where do you think our church should be, either more conservative or more social? Yes.
We're kind of a product of her. And it seems like her focus was so on teaching, but in an age group.
Yes.
Did the college for about 30 years?
Yes, 30 years.
And when I'm hearing this kind of discussion, it seems like that is a major area to explore. I don't know, I guess I don't have a question here, but I just see the profound impact of, even like when you just now said, Don went out.
Yeah.
What Henry and Beers did then.
Yes. Yes. I think it was brilliant that she felt she had a gift to reaching college students, which she sure did. Would it not be good if we had a college department now? And because I do think, I agree with her, it's a people are making their critical life decisions then, from marriage to vocation. Thank you for honoring that. Here's another place where Miss Mears helped in this connection. Because of the move we made from down inner city to the Atwater District here, I was near enough Marshall High School to actually get here to the church. I remember saying to her, what if I'd been born in Madagascar or in the Fiji Islands or something? I was privileged to be moved to a place that was nearest probably the most vital college Sunday school teacher in the world. And I accepted Christ. But what if I were born in Madagascar? And I asked her this question. I said, Dr. Mears, if it's true that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, what about those who have never heard? I bet that's a question you've asked yourself too. And I still remember her answer. This shows her wisdom. She said, Dale, Genesis 18:25, quote, shall not the judge of all the earth do rightly? And that really hit. He will be so fair at judgment day. He'll know those who from Madagascar or from the Fiji or who never had a church reach them, what they would have done. And he's going to be fair. That really did help me a lot. But that isn't that a question? What about all the, if you're brought up in a Muslim home or somewhere else, what about those people? We're going to try to reach them, but meanwhile, she was so wise. The only thing that wasn't wise was that second blessing thing. But even that helped me to go into that whole Pentecostal movement. Have any of you ever been challenged to speak in tongues or to get a second blessing? Well, but you know, Don Williams went into the charismatic movement with the Vineyard. So we have had people who have, but Don is focused on Christ, but he did become charismatic. And the charismatic movement is strong, but do you agree with me that you shouldn't say that you need to have one more thing before you're finally a real Christian? Yeah, and that was a very helpful experience for me. Well, I appreciate most of these questions. And yes, Rob. Thank you, brother. Well, I remember when you had that. It was right here in this room. And you've just written a book about, give the title.
I did a novel.
Yeah. And it's, yes. So we're grateful for your having, the way you reach out constantly. Our little grandson sings the song to your Christmas tape that it, and what is it? Yesodo, yeah. And that was a terrific production that you made. Yes, you there in the back row are our inner industry people, and we're very grateful for you. Let us close with prayer. Our Father, we're deeply grateful for this church and for the way she has lifted Christ up through the years. Please show us where we need to be more socially engaged. Please show us where we need to be more evangelically engaged. Please help the pastor nominating committee. We need a pastor, and we ask you, please give us a good one, we ask. And now thank you for this time together, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.